사랑하는 성도 여러분, 오늘은 여덟 번째 재앙인 메뚜기의 재앙에 대해
말씀드립니다. Dear brothers and sisters, today we'll focus on the eighth plague, the plague of locusts. The preceding seventh plague was the plague of hail. God gave a warning before bringing the plague and revealed a way to avoid great damage. And within all these plagues, there was always a preceding plague or a way to avoid the damage. There was always a bit of a warning. Exodus 9, verse 19. Now therefore bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die. So this, it wasn't just a simple plague that came straight away. God gave a warning and actually directed certain ways to avoid the damage. In other words, God was letting people know that if they brought people and livestock into the house, they would not suffer harm. Every plague up to this point had come exactly as Moses had spoken. And when the people in front of Moses listened to Moses' words, you would think that everyone else would obey. But what does the Bible say? Exodus 9, verses 20 to 21. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. The people who left their servants and livestock in the field, what would have happened to all of them? Well, all that remained died or were harmed. God gave advance warning and told the people how to evade danger, but they didn't care nor obey. And so they suffered harm. So similarly, God tells us through His word when and how disasters, trials, and tribulations can come. When we don't keep it in mind and ignore God's word, we end up facing difficulties. With the plague of hail coming, God has given the people a warning that this great plague will happen and many will die if you don't avoid it. And God even told the people how to avoid it. But when you don't obey it, they end up suffering. And when you read the Bible, you almost want to shout and yell, saying, you know, why didn't they obey? They should have obeyed. But let's say Moses gave a warning saying, don't go outside the house today or tomorrow. Stay in the house. Look after your livestock. But some people don't obey, and some people do. But these people, they didn't take the warning to heart. They either ignored it, forgot about it, or didn't care. And they ended up suffering great damage. It's the same with our own lives. When there are trials, tribulations, problems, damages, you need to always look back on yourself. Don't consider it a coincidence, thinking that, you know, it just happened. You need to look back on yourself and think about why you have experienced these problems, trials, or disasters. And make sure that it doesn't happen again. If you just ignore it and don't keep it in mind, then that problem may disappear, but it can always appear again. God has clearly shown us the way of answers and blessings, but it's impossible to receive blessings without obedience. You might say that some people are extremely lucky because they have good inheritances or they have good upbringings. But are you always going to make excuses and blame your environment or upbringing for all the problems in your life? God, the Almighty is our Father, who can do anything. It's like our Pastor Emeritus, J-Rock Lee, for 7 years, he was extremely sick, he, on his deathbed, unable to do anything. But at once, after he met God, he received healing. And through God's words, he learned to look after widows and orphans, to volunteer, to give charity to those who are in need. And what did Pastor Emeritus do when he heard and read God's words from the Bible, telling him what to do and what not to do? Pastor Emeritus was extremely joyous and grateful and thankful. He didn't have a lot of money. He also had debts. He was barely paying the interest on his rents, on his debts. But even despite being in a low socioeconomic situation, he was still extremely happy about the fact that God was telling him to give to those in need, to volunteer, to help others. And when Pastor Emeritus Lee obeyed, despite him not having a lot of funds himself, in a short amount of time, he ended up receiving blessings and was able to glorify God. So when you believe in God's words and when you obey God's words, it's like finding treasure. It's like finding gold. The Bible records the covenant of promises that God is going to give when you obey His words. God tells us why calamity comes and how we can evade it to this day. May we all apply it to ourselves, keep it in mind and obey, so that we can receive blessings instead of calamity. After the hail struck, damaging trees and vegetation and killing livestock and people in the field, Pharaoh finally seemed to acknowledge his wrongdoing. He seemed to acknowledge his wrongdoing. And if he really acknowledged his wrongdoing, he would have repented. Exodus 9, verses 27 to 28. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, "I have sinned this time." And from here is where Pharaoh is wrong. The fact that he's saying, "I've sinned this time," means that he doesn't consider himself wrong the other times. "I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones." And same with this sentence as well. There's no point bringing my people into the sentence. Pharaoh should have just taken responsibility for himself. "Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Moses knew that Pharaoh's heart had still not turned back. He realized that Pharaoh, despite his confession, that he had not completely repented. To make Pharaoh realize that God is alive and that the whole world belongs to him, Moses lifted his hands and asked God for the plague to cease. As expected, Pharaoh changed his mind after the thunder, hail, and rain ceased. Exodus 9:34-35. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. The next plague was bound to come. I'm sure that there would be no one who would say that God is too harsh on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. There were so many chances given to the people, but they didn't obey. They didn't repent. Pharaoh didn't kneel down and become humble. He hardened his heart again, and there was no other choice but to receive plagues and trials and tribulations. So Moses and Aaron went to the king of Egypt to deliver the word of God again. They warned him of the plague of locusts, telling Pharaoh that it would be a disaster never been seen before. Pharaoh's servants became desperate. Egypt had already suffered great damage from the previous plagues. In hearing that an even greater plague was coming, they realized it would be unbearable. And of course, it would be unbearable, because the servants themselves have seen it firsthand, and a lot of the disasters include them. It would bring even greater harm to themselves. So they spoke to the king, "Send the men away that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is destroyed?" Because of his servants' words, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron again. He then asked who would be going to offer the sacrifice before the Lord. In the preceding plague, the plague of hail, Pharaoh was about to send all of them. But now that the hail had stopped, Pharaoh changed his heart, his mind again. And when the plague of locusts was going to come, the servants spoke to Pharaoh saying, "This is not something that you should do. You need to let the people go. You need to let the Israelites go." So really, Pharaoh should have summoned Moses and Aaron saying, "Just leave the nation." He should have let the people go straight away. But instead of letting the people go, Pharaoh asked who was going to go. Moses replied, "We shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But Pharaoh said that the children did not need to go, insisting that only the grown men should offer the sacrifice. He accused Moses of evil and drove them out. When Moses said that all the people were going to go and offer a sacrifice before the Lord their God, Moses should have let them go. And Moses is giving this warning to Pharaoh, saying that the Israelites will leave, that they want to leave, that the Israelites were being harshly treated as slaves before the Egyptians, but with God, they were going to leave, that they wanted to leave. Moses replied, saying that all the different types of people, young, old, men and women, were going to sacrifice and give thanks to the Lord. But a hardened heart, like Pharaoh, doesn't want to hear what is right, insisting that it's wrong. There are so many selfish people who only seek personal benefit. If something seems even slightly disadvantageous, they immediately lay the fault at another. For example, when someone tries to restrain a drunk, the drunk person often becomes angrier, saying no harm was done and questioning being restrained instead. They almost get angry, saying why they're being restrained when they haven't done anything. But this doesn't apply to a person. This doesn't just apply to a person whose judgment is impaired by alcohol. Anyone whose eyes are blinded by sin and insists on personal thoughts of the flesh behaves in the same way. People who are blinded by sin, who are living according to their own fleshly thoughts, they don't consider that they may be wrong. They just argue, saying that, you know, they're getting angry because there's no other choice, that it's the other person's fault. It's never their own fault. Pharaoh also did not correct his own faults, but continually sought what was beneficial to himself. If the Israelites were to leave, all Pharaoh thought about was the fact that there would be no more slaves to do the work for him. Pharaoh should have thought about all the harsh treatments of the Israelites from the Egyptians. Pharaoh should have at least repented then and there, but he did not. If he had repented, Pharaoh should have let the Israelites go, but instead, Pharaoh is getting angry about the Israelites trying to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Exodus 10 verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left. When Moses lifted his staff according to God's word, an east wind blew without ceasing through the night and into the morning, and countless locusts rode on the wind and came into the land. The locusts were so many that the land was darkened, consuming every plant and all the fruit of the trees left from the hail. Nothing green remained in all the land of Egypt. When a swarm of locusts passes through, it devastates everything, eating grain and grass, which leaves the land desolate. A locust is merely a small and insignificant insect, but as a swarm, their power is tremendous. A few years ago, there was a major incident in Africa where a massive swarm of locusts caused great destruction. In 2020, desert locusts broke out across East Africa throughout countries like Kenya, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Uganda. Unusually heavy rainfall combined with favorable climate conditions created an environment ideal for desert locust breeding. As a result, in the spring of 2020, the largest locust swarms recorded in 70 years swept through 10 countries in East Africa. The desert locust is the most powerful among locust species and one of the most destructive pests on Earth. It's about 6 to 7 centimeters long, and it's taking up most of its front part of the hand. But if you think about it, despite all these locusts, the land was not completely pitch black. But in the Bible, with the Egyptians, when the locusts came, it was dark. The land was dark to the point where the locusts flying covered each and every inch of the sky, that you could see nothing but locusts. And in real life, we can see a bit of a comparison with the 2020 incident. And when the people experienced the 2020 desert locusts incident, some people said that this might have been very similar to the plague of locusts in the Bible. However, the plague of locusts is even greater than the 2020 incident. These massive swarms of locusts are known to have an omnivorous appetite, leaving not a single blade of grass in their path. Their feed is terrifying. The locusts can travel about 150 kilometers in a day, and one swarm of locusts consists of roughly 80 million locusts, and a single swarm can consume enough food in one day to feed 35,000 people. So in reality, these enormous swarms swept over farmlands throughout East Africa, destroying 160 million kilograms of food per day, an amount that could feed 800,000 people for an entire year. Because of this, approximately 23 million people suffered severe food shortages. This is a true incident in East Africa. It's the damage that a swarm of desert locusts had brought upon the various countries in East Africa. But the plague of locusts in the Bible is even greater, so you can imagine how great the destruction would have been. In the plague of hail, there were still some that survived. There were still plants that survived, wheat and spelt. Crops that had not yet grown were not destroyed. And among Pharaoh's servants, those who feared the word of God brought their livestock indoors and were protected. But the plague of locusts, though it may seem less serious at first glance, caused far greater damage than the hail. It consumed even what little remained, just leaving the nation helpless. With hail, the damage that the hail does is just destroys the leaves or what's on the outside or what can be seen. But with the locusts end up eating what's not seen and what's left over to the inside. It's almost a second destruction after the hail. It's a destruction on top of the hail plague. And what about the livestock? Even if the livestock were protected, what do livestock need in order to survive? The cattle, like cows and sheep and pigs, what do they end up eating? They require grass in order to eat. But the plague of locusts destroyed all the green in the land, that there was nothing left. And if we apply this plague to ourselves, it signifies a disaster in which, after all the previous hardships and calamities, even the remaining possessions are completely lost, leaving us with nothing. It means problems grow more serious in the home, workplace, and business. From the plague of hail, we said that a lot of the trials and tribulations are related to wealth issues, to monetary issues. And the plague of hail came only in part. For example, if a factory suddenly caught fire, it would cause great loss, but not total destruction. The plague of locusts represents devastating damage like an accident or bankruptcy where the remaining property is entirely lost. It may come in the form of illness, worsening over time, decrease in finances, or through a child whose actions leave the family buried in debt or other troubles. In today's society, there are many instances where some people end up paying debts in order to invest in other avenues. When people earn money, and they have that money and they invest in certain areas, but they end up being bankrupt and losing all of that invested money, it's extremely discerning and it's extremely destructive. But not only that, this is, some people these days pay, have debts in order to invest. So it's not just their money that they're losing, but they're losing money that they actually don't own. So these debts end up becoming larger and larger with interests. And when these instances happen, you've got debt collectors that are at your front door asking you to repay. And a lot of people, when they're at this situation, this circumstance of having too much debt to the point where they are unable to repay for the rest of their life. Some of these people get so depressed that they end up harming themselves or suiciding. And a lot of the time, these instances derive from greed and envy because they want to succeed. They want more than what they have now. And some people, when calamities continue, some people think whether it's a mistake or a coincidence. But with God, there is never a coincidence. There is always a clear cause behind loss. You might invest or buy stocks, and as soon as you buy stocks, it diminishes. Or as soon as you invest, that investment ends up decreasing or becoming bankrupt. There are many incidences where as soon as you invest or buy stocks, that it just disappears or decreases. In Korea, years ago, a lot of people on the news suggested the citizens of Korea to invest in housing, to buy housing. And a lot of people followed this trend and spent a lot of money investing in houses and buying houses and getting a loan from the banks. But a few years later, a lot of the housing prices decreased and bank interests increased. And when these incidences happen, people just ignore it or they simply go over the incident without cause, making excuses that, oh, it was because they hadn't studied well or it's simply the environment these days. But you need to look back on yourself. If people around you are suffering, whether it's financially or familial or workplace issues, and you are also experiencing the same problems, you shouldn't just consider it as a coincidence and think that other people are experiencing exactly the same as you. Father God can protect you and can give you blessings. So you need to look back on yourself. You need to find the wrong answers in your life and fix them so that you can correct it and receive blessings. I consider a life motto that you should change your wrong answers at least now. And when I regret something, personally, I tell myself that, yes, I can regret, but may I not regret the same regret next time so that I can always improve my situation. There may be times when I regret various things. However, I try to tell myself not to regret this exact same thing every single time. The Bible tells you not to have debts. Jesus said in the Bible not to have debts. And you might say, in today's society, you can't live without debts. And at times, you need to take a loan to buy houses or buy a car or things that you require in order to live. But the problem is when you shoot higher than your means and take out a larger loan or take out a larger investment that's above the means that you can repay back. And if you consider these situations and you regret, say, past decisions of taking out a larger loan, and you try and make sure that you don't have the same regrets in the future, then you can become better. If someone claims to believe in God and calamities appear, what does this mean? If we believe in God and hear His word, then once we know His will, we must keep and practice that word. If we live doing the same evil as those who don't believe, then we cannot avoid calamity. Last week, we looked at how the Israelites were protected in the land of Goshen, but it wasn't because the Israelites were more righteous than the Egyptians. It was because the Israelites were God's chosen people, which is why they were protected. But after Exodus, the Israelites needed to show their own faith. And let's say newly registered church members, they come to church, they keep the Sabbath day holy, they pay tithes, they pay offerings. And these new believers, they receive blessings, they receive answers to their problems, but let's say that that's all they do. They don't get any better. They just stay stagnant for years. Then how can God give you more blessings when you're exactly the same 3 years ago as you are now? If someone curses you, you curse back. When others fight, you fight too. When anger arises, you explode in anger. You lie, deceive, and cause harm to others. If you live just like worldly people, how can you be called a child of God? It's inevitable that calamities will appear. When God works once, twice, and repeatedly, but a person does not realize, repent, nor turn back, then God turns his face away. Sickness grows, severe or malignant diseases appear, and people can encounter disasters like the hail or the locust plague. It's important for you to realize that small warnings through small trials, tribulations, or plagues, that if you don't repent during these small warnings, then that is when your warnings get large, get bigger or more serious, and your trials, plagues, tribulations, and whatnot become greater. It's exactly the 10 plagues. In some situations, you suffer trials and tribulations, and you say that you repent, but soon after you experience similar trials and tribulations. This means that you have not completely repented. Even with a small calamity, a wise person realizes that they've walked in sin and disobeyed God's will and quickly repents, avoiding a greater disaster. A wise person realizes that they used to live with fervent faith, but from some point started focusing on making money, neglecting prayer, and let devotion grow cold. Knowing these were the reason to the calamity, this person proceeds to repent. The problem can be resolved. Faith can grow. No matter how hardened a person may have been or how deep in sin, if people thoroughly repent before God and turn back, God forgives and restores. If you have a small heart field, you try and hide your faults. You don't accept your faults. You don't admit your faults. You don't go and say sorry and apologize to people who you were mean to or who you had fights with. But a person with a good heart field are able to admit their wrongdoings, their mistakes, their errors. They're able to right what's wrong. But if you continue to just protect yourself and don't admit to your mistakes, wrongdoings, or errors, then you cannot grow in faith. So if people thoroughly repent before God and turn back, God can forgive and restore. But it's important to check whether true repentance is offered to God. If it's not true repentance, then it cannot be acknowledged before God as repentance, even if it seems like admitting wrongdoings, which means the problem cannot be resolved. It's exactly like Pharaoh saying that he has made an error this time. And it seems like Pharaoh is repenting, but the next day, the Pharaoh ends up getting angry at Moses to the fact that Moses wants all the Israelites to leave. The king of Egypt acknowledged God whenever a plague came and even said he had done wrong. When the first plague of blood appeared, Pharaoh did not change. When the second plague of the frogs struck, he summoned Moses and asked him to remove the frogs, saying he would let the people go. When the fourth plague of flies struck, Pharaoh said he would let the people go and asked Moses to pray for him. Moses said in Exodus 8, verse 29, "Behold, I am going to leave you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses said this because multiple times Pharaoh dealt deceitfully and changed his mind in letting the people go. Because Pharaoh's heart was hardened, he changed his mind again once the plague was removed. With the fifth plague of pestilence, Pharaoh even sent people to verify that the livestock belonging to the sons of Israel had been protected, but still didn't repent or turn back. When the plague of hail came, Pharaoh said, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones," and asked for the hail to stop, promising to let Israel go. But once the hail ceased, he changed his mind again. Pharaoh never truly acknowledged his wrongdoing from the heart, nor fully believed in the living God. Pharaoh only said these words to escape the immediate difficulty, which is why he repeatedly changed his mind. It's extremely important that Pharaoh's attitude, his demeanor of changing his mind, finding God or saying he's sorry for his wrongdoings when there are plagues, but changing his mind straight away. Is it just Pharaoh's demeanor that we need to think about? It's also our attitude, our actions. Do we act similar to Pharaoh? When calamity comes with trials and tribulations, do you acknowledge that the hardship has come due to not living according to God's word? This is when repentance and turning back needs to happen. To turn back means not to commit those sins again. It means ceasing from the path of untruth, the left side, and turning to walk toward the truth, the right side. Many weep when calamity strikes, acknowledge their wrongdoing, and say they will no longer commit sin. But it's important not to stop there. Some people go the path of untruth, the left side, and stop there, but they don't go back, they don't go forwards, they just stop there. But it's important not to stop. It's important to pursue the truth, practice it, offer repentance from the heart, and remove even the sinful nature. If not, then sinful ways can return as time passes. Some people truly repent with tears and contrition, turn from sin and walk according to the truth. Then the calamity departs. But as time passes, love for the world starts again and sin happens. Like Pharaoh facing a plague and seeking Moses, saying he'd obey God's will, but returning to do as he pleased once the plague was removed through Moses' prayer. Exodus 8, verse 15, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them." It's important for everyone to remember that you may have had an extremely difficult problem, an extremely severe plague, and God resolved it for you. And as soon as it was resolved, you changed your mind. You might look at Pharaoh that He was foolish in changing his heart. But you need to think whether this is you, that whether Pharaoh's actions are your actions. For example, testimonies of God opening the way for you, giving you mercy, giving you chances. Say, for example, when you are ill or you have a lot of pain, God is opening the way by healing you, not completely, but at least getting rid of a lot of the pain or healing some parts of your illness. But as soon as these areas are better, they're not fully healed, but they're better, you are able to breathe more comfortably. So you end up not praying as hard to God. You end up not being as fervent. Some people receive healing works and they end up leaving God. Some people are exactly like Pharaoh and they have a change of heart almost immediately. Even after seeing and hearing the works of God, some people resist or turn away when sickness or calamity strikes. It's like Pharaoh who still pursued the Israelites as they left Egypt, even after suffering the 10 plagues. No matter what trial or calamity you face, be humble and repent before God. May you profess to live within God's word, love God, and live faithfully. If a person refuses to turn back and continues in hardness of heart, then greater suffering and calamity will come. Eventually, nothing will remain except empty-handedness. There are many who have come to our church in similar cases. Some people are on the brink of giving up and ending life, but were evangelized and brought before God. Trying everything but now left with nothing, you entrust everything to God. When you become spiritually poor in heart, then God resolves problems and leads you on a prosperous path. This applies to all believers. Even if you've been a Christian for many years, living freely but facing trials, tribulations, or calamities, when you thoroughly repent and turn back, God resolves problems and allows you to enjoy true peace that the world cannot give. God is the one who endures to the end and loves. But when you don't turn back, then the next plagues will surely come. May you not become a foolish person who don't turn back. May you look back on yourself, look at what wall of sin you have with God, and completely cast it down and break it.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.